Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we never have to worry about lacking a thing because you are always here with us. Your love is here for us. Your power is mighty. We thank you in times of plenty and even in times of need. You are so faithful, Lord. Open our minds and our hearts to hear a message from you this morning. We give thanks to our worship leaders and to all who participate to help our services, to all of us here today, to help us in glorifying you. Allow your words to resonate within each of us today, this week, and always. Amen. Thanksgiving is on Thursday. Thursday is Thanksgiving. What's going to happen at my house will be we're going to buy some of the things the day before and have a little treat, and this story will come up. My mother makes the world's best stuffing. Best. Better than anybody. And one time my grandmother was sadly in need of a place to live, and of course my mother invited her to live with us at our house. I love my grandma. She's in heaven. Sweeter than sweet. So she got to make the stuffing. And when we went to dig into the stuffing, she had used a seasoning that looked like the greens of an evergreen tree, which made it taste totally different. And we were like, there's Christmas tree in the stuffing. There's Christmas tree. And there was some leftovers that year. There had never been leftovers in the stuffing bowl. But that year there was leftovers. And my poor grandmother didn't realize that my mother didn't add that in, and we as kids couldn't understand why we were eating part of a Christmas tree. Does anybody know what spice looks like the needles of a Christmas tree?
Is it juniper?
Rosemary.
Oh, gosh,
rosemary. Yeah. So we were pretty, dissatisfied, and we didn't complain loudly because we loved Grandmom. But every Thanksgiving since then, the story had come up and will come up. And it brings us joy, and we can laugh about it now, but better yet, it leads us to conversation about my grandmother and about my parents' lives when they were younger. So it was a traumatic Thanksgiving, but it brings joy for us to bring it up every year. I don't think that I ever truly appreciated at the time the ability for us to spend time together, no matter what was on the table. That was the gift, family together. And now looking back, I know how truly blessed I was. And I am. And May, I want to put up a picture of her homestead. May and I were chatting on the phone, and she recalls around Thanksgiving time that her grandparents had bought, both she and May, Ruthie, a caboose and a engine for the train tracks. And they actually had the train tracks made up. There's the homestead where they were living. They had a spare room and they would set up the train tracks. And the anticipation and the joy of setting that up and knowing that they would get a train to add to their train, their engine, and their caboose each year was just quite exciting and wonderful. So what a delightful memory to be able to know that during Thanksgiving, the gifts that we're going to be receiving, the joy of setting up that train track, it's just a fond memory for May. And I think these are beautiful memories. The family around the table.
Hospitality.
Yeah.
Our parents were that.
Yeah.
We never had a family dinner on Sunday. It was always our family and whoever visited church that Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and Dad were a perfect couple. Daddy was the first one to see a stranger coming in the door. And even before that, on Saturday, it said to Mom, do you have anything extra in case we have company tomorrow?
Yep.
Mom would always make sure that there was a double casserole and a double slice of meat, bigger turkey, and whatever.
So friends and family at that extended table, all the chairs set. Oh, May would set the tables because she didn't enjoy the cooking. Ruthie would help in the kitchen, and May would be setting the table. And she's still setting the table. Amen. Anyone else want to share a fond memory of Thanksgiving? It is amazing.
I may have to cook on Thursday.
Okay, you can do it.
Do it Wednesday, so it's not stressful.
You know, I just get one made at the store.
I think catering sounds like a wonderful idea. Yep, that's
Matt,
I'm
not doing anything on Thursday. I could come and cook.
Yes, we can fill your chairs. No, she could set the table.
I appreciate the offer.
She wants to cook. Now, yeah, there you go.
It's it gets complicated with my mom, so she makes things complicated.
And hopefully at one time you'll be able to look back and maybe laugh a little bit. Oh, you're laughing already? Okay.
Yes. Very sad.
Silly stories, sentimental stories. Whenever told, will bring joy and laughter to the room, and we're able to be a little bit lighter and recognize the gifts that God has provided to each of us. You know, we need to keep telling these stories of special people in our lives and special times together. And memories, these memories will be kept alive and with happiness and shared with happiness. I believe that most ill-received situations have happened because people stop talking about God and their thankfulness and their blessings. What would the world be like if we just took every day the opportunity to talk about God? Would the disciples have been murdered if people were talking about God and his blessings? Would there have been concentration camps if people had heard of God and his love? Would the Twin Towers have been bombed if someone was talking every day about God and his gifts? Would there be such a thing as a divorce? Would people continually urge and fight for what other people have, what they want? King David was rejoicing when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back to the nation of Jerusalem, the heart of the nation of Israel. And his wife actually thought he was a little silly because he was dancing in the streets with joy. He was rejoicing with God. When we rejoice with the Lord, we worship him from our hearts. Sometimes it shows in our smile, and sometimes it shows with hugs or a handshake, and sometimes we get happy feet and we dance when we are rejoicing with God. The Ark of the Covenant, which represents the living God, was placed in the center of the tent that David had set up in the city. He recognized that God needs to be the center of all things. Perhaps King Saul was not so much into showing his joy or following what was in the Bible as far as how worship needed to be done. King David knew that God needed to be the center of our lives. All of God's children need to remember and talk about what God has done in the past and what he's doing in our lives right now. David was filled with joy as he read this from 1 Chronicles, these verses. He knew that the verses had been gathered from Psalms and that they were about rejoicing, and he was encouraging them to be read every day. So I'm in 1 Chronicles 16, starting at verse 7. That day, David first appointed Asaph as his associate to give praise to the Lord in this manner. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Asaph, who was a prophet, is now the worship leader, and he is being encouraged to share that every day. He received the readings to tell the people of all things God had done. It probably was suggested that this, which is a collection of psalms, be sung every day. Praise the Lord, seek the Lord, seek him daily, tell of his wonderful acts. Jennifer Slattery shared from her 30-day prayer challenge, throughout Scripture, you warn us not to forget who you are, God, what you've done and what you've promised. The moment we do, our problems seem to grow stronger and you appear to grow weaker. When we don't turn to him, those problems elevate and we become weaker. She goes on, I know this is far from true. You are the God of heaven's armies, the creator of all things, who formed entire galaxies by a mere command. Sometimes, however, these truths appear to fade. When I recount my blessings, she writes, you and your miraculous acts sharpen back into focus. With every word of thanksgiving, I remind myself of your heart and your care. Through praise, I acknowledge that good remains, even when life feels hard. So, Lord, flood and strengthen my heart with thanksgiving and fill my mouth with praise. She ends by sharing, and we're going to get to 1 Chronicles 16:34. But she wants everyone to be reading and to hear. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I'm at verse number 11. Look at the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen one, the children of Jacob, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. David continues to encourage thanksgiving. David encourages everyone to seek God's face. Seek his face. Join with others. Rejoice, pray, worship together. Not just in church or just at celebratory times, but in your home and every day. Learn of what he is doing each day. Why do we turn to God so quickly when we are suffering? When trouble is rising? Dear Lord, help me get to work safely. Dear Lord, please cure my mother. Quickly, we do that. Maybe that pressure can be considered a good pressure, because it's turning us back to God. One pastor had shared, the more you turn to God in your troubled times, the more it will become a habit, so that you turn to him continuously in both the bad times and the good times. Make it a habit. Make a thank you list. Put it on your kitchen table or on your refrigerator or on your bathroom mirror of all the blessings that you have. Turning to him in good times is such a benefit for all. Charles Spurgeon reminds us, all the good we enjoy comes from God. Recollect that. Alas, most men forget it because the next traumatic thing happens, and then the next thing happens. All good things that we enjoy come from God. Stepping out of bed. Making your breakfast, calling a friend. Back to verse 15. We remember his covenant forever, the promise he made for thousands of generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. And when they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. All people should be mindful of God's covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. The ancient covenant reminds us of the past and holds on to the promises of the future. In Genesis 12, God made a covenant with Abraham regarding the land and a nation and a particular messianic blessing. In Exodus 19, God made a covenant with Israel as a nation regarding law, sacrifice, and the choice of a blessing or a cursing. In Samuel 7, God made a covenant with David regarding the specific lineage of the Messiah. In Luke 22, verse 20, God made a covenant with all who believe on his. This is why his people have worshipped him and why we praise him today. He has made promises to be with us, to cover us, to carry us. He has his hand of protection over all of us. He never leaves us, even in our most down times. God's work is there within the painful time. The trick is to keep on keeping on. Pick yourself up. Look for God in the situation. Remember his promises. Verse 21. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of all the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Idols. So many idols are found in this crazy, fast-paced world. We learn at a young age to want the games that someone else has, to be good at that video game that someone else is playing, to be able to dress like someone else does. Social media hasn't been the best for us as human beings. An idol is a thing of nothing. The things of this earth will waste away, but God's love is eternal. And God is in all things. We have to make that choice to turn to God. Verse 28. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. All that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees in the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Amen, and praise the Lord. Imagine hearing a group of people yelling that, cheering that every day. Amen, and praise the Lord. David left Asaph and his associates before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister regularly according to each day's requirements. Are we praising every day? It is written that we should praise him every day. Last week, I'm going to revisit that saying that we shared last week. It's actually a saying that comes from Africa. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. His mercies endure forever. It is His mercies that we need, and His mercies that can be renewed every day when we turn to Him and praise Him. We also should not forget to pray for the aid and relief of God's servants who are in distress. We know of many people who are in distress. We talked about the Ukrainian situation this morning. David Guzik writes about God's word being done as it is written. As it is written, we need to give thanks. As it is written, we should be worshiping God every day. The awesomeness of our Lord. And we should rejoice in His promises. David Guzik wrote, simply remembering God's great work is an important and often neglected part of the Christian life. And he writes that Charles Spurgeon had noted several ways that we can help ourselves remember the great things of God. Make an actual record of what God has done. Keep a writing journal. Write it down. The Bible is written. We can go back to it. We can find verses that will help us. We can find verses that will guide us how we need to live our lives. Be sure to praise God thoroughly at the time you receive His goodness. When something good happens, say it right away. Thank you, Lord, for this. Or tell somebody. I had a really nice visit with my mom. Amen. What a gift to spend time with my mom. Set apart time for meditation on the good things that God has done. Spend time thinking about it. Put on the Christian radio station, put on the Christian TV station. Sing a song. Tell about His mercies often to other people. When the story about Grandmom comes up and how she ruined our stuffing, I am going to go move on and say, gosh, weren't we blessed? Didn't God bless us with a wonderful granny? Right? A wonderful grandma? I'm going to add that to the story. Use everything around you as reminders of the goodness of God. It is easy to give thanks to the Lord every day when we view everything around us as a gift of the goodness of God. Every day as you ponder those reminders, may your heart be a shelter to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, through good times and bad, you are always with us. You want us to listen and to learn and to grow in your love. We thank you for your mercy to protect us. We thank you for allowing us to rise each day with new mercies and everlasting mercies. May you provide opportunities for us to share about you with others. May you provide protection to those who are suffering and scared in wartime, in drug-addicted neighborhoods, in houses without heating. May you provide relief for those in the New York area and others who are underneath feet of snow. May you affect the hearts of those in governing positions so that they may act in accordance of your wishes. We come to you in prayer this morning asking you to fill our hearts with love. And we in turn want to give you hearts filled with thanksgiving. In your blessed name, amen.